This is the Generation Example Podcast.
When I take you to my topic, so my topic today was your number 10 most requested topic, and that was music and media. So it was really music, but what we're doing is we're adding media to the topic. So when I say media, I'm talking about music, TV, video, books, podcasts, blogs, radio, internet TV, YouTube, blah, 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 blah. Anything that comes across in a form of media is what I'm talking about. Now, what I want you guys to do right now, I'm going to give you about 1 minute, all right? And see that number on the phone? This is a phone number we have. I'm not going to tell you whose number it is, right? This is a phone number. And I want you guys to think of a question, right? A question relating to spirituality, Christians, and music or media that you may have. And I want you to either write it down in your handout, right? Just to jot it down real quick. And then I want you to text it to that number, right? Text it. So everybody pull out your cell phones. Pull them out. Come on, I can't get you to put them away. Now you guys won't pull them out? Pull out your cell phones. Pull them out. What's going on over there? You guys are having way too much fun. Stop it. No fun allowed. This church. I'm trying to have fun in church. Okay. So, you guys all tracking with me? So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to talk for a few minutes. So I'm going to give you guys my 10 cents on this for about 10 minutes, right? 10, 15 minutes. And then we're going to spend the rest of the time answering questions that you guys may have with regard to this topic. So go ahead and start sending them back. I'll give you guys a few minutes to text. And I'm going to keep the number up there. So if while I'm talking you guys get a question, text it back. Feel free to text anything back. I got a filter back there. His name is Charles. Make sure that your FPMs are zero, right, in your text messages. Your F-bombs per minute. You guys missed the joke. Doot, 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 doot. Maybe I missed the joke. So here we go. The main verse I want to talk to you guys today is Proverbs 13:20. Anybody know that verse right off the top of your head? Anybody got Proverbs right there? You guys know this one? Proverbs 13:20. It's a really good one. Dude, don't text me. Text that number. Dude, you're so funny. Don't worry about whose number it is. It's not my number. I don't want to give you guys my cell phone number. I know, I'm just choking. Don't text me. Text the number. 13:20. Here's the verse. This is today's New International Version. It says this. Proverbs 13:20. It says, "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fool suffers harm." Let me read that again. "Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm." This verse is basically saying this. Look. We become like the people we surround ourselves with, right? If you want to become a wise person, you need to surround yourself with wise people, right? It's smart at your age to surround yourself with people who are older, wiser, smarter, who have walked the path you guys are walking in order so that you can learn and be wise yourself, right? It also says the companion of fools suffers harm. So it says if you choose not to surround yourself with those people, if you only surround yourself with, let's just say, your peers, right? People who will go to your school or your friends with, and you don't surround yourself with people who are wise, then you're going to suffer harm. Basically, you're setting yourself up for a huge failure, right? Because if you think about it, the people that are closest to you in age and in life, right, they really don't know much more than you know. Just being honest, right? They haven't walked very far. They haven't lived life. They haven't seen the ramifications of the things you're doing, right? They pretty much only know what you know, and oftentimes they don't even know that. They're just guessing, right? They're just making it up as they go because they don't know. And when you just surround yourself with those types of people, you guys are in for a huge hurt. You guys ever seen the movie The Hurt Locker? That's what you're in for. You're in for a huge amount of pain, right? Because that's what the proverb says. Those who are companions of fools will suffer harm. Right? Now, I know a lot of you guys are probably asking, what the heck does this have to do with music? Well, I'm going to get there, right? Because here's the thing about companions. Here's the thing you got to understand. Companions, right, the idea of a companion is not just limited to people. There are a such thing as non-human companions. Let me read you a couple of them. They are books, magazines, newspapers, comic books, TV shows, video games, blogs, websites, musics, radio shows, and podcasts, right? And you're probably saying, how are these non-human companions? I don't get it. What is a radio show? Right? Well, let's talk about this. What is a companion? Right? Basically, a companion is somebody, what, you spend time with, you talk to, you share your problems with, and then what do? They share their philosophy on life. They give you answers to your problems. They share how you should do things. They give you advice, tell you what to do. They're the people you spend the most time with, right? You guys tracking with me? Right? Well, what is a podcast, right? It's somebody communicating to you how to live your life, how to do this, what to do that, even music, you know? Any musician out there has a philosophy or a worldview that they're pushing through their music. It just is. Everybody has one. I don't care who you are. There's no such thing as an artist who isn't trying to push you towards something. Everybody is trying to push you towards something. Whether it's Lady Gaga trying to push you towards, it's okay, or it's somebody else trying to push you towards this or that, or it's, you know, some Christian artist trying to push you towards Jesus. Everybody is trying to push you towards something. So when you allow yourself and you allow these non-human companions a lot of time with you, you don't realize, but they're pushing you towards something. And as young people, you guys spend a lot of time in front of these non-human companions. You guys are media saturated. There was a study, right? This is the Kaiser Family Study, right? You guys know what Kaiser is? My doctor. They did a study. They said this. They studied youth between the age of, like, your age and, like, probably they stopped at, like, 30. So, like, 30 to 15, like, right in that age, right? And they found that young people spend 52.5 hours in front of some sort of media. Now, that number goes up quite a bit if you calculate that oftentimes they're spending it in two forms of media at once. What does that mean? Well, that means you got your iPhone in and you're texting at the same time while you're surfing the internet on Facebook while you got something else going in the background, right? I mean, that's what we do, right? It's never just one thing. You're never just listening to your iPod, right? You got your iPod on, you're doing Facebook, you're surfing the internet, you know, you're doing five things at once, right? But 52.5 hours, that's more than your parents' full-time job. Do you guys realize that? You guys spend, I had a buddy, this is funny, I had a buddy, I grew up with him. He was, while I was going to college, he used to sleep on my couch and play video games. He was one of those guys. And I literally sat there and watched him put 60 hours on a Final Fantasy role-playing game. You guys know Final Fantasy? 60 hours in a week, right? And some of you guys are like, yeah, I've done that, right? And it's just true, this generation saturates yourself with media. Right? And the mistake a lot of people make is they may check, you know, yeah, I'm not going to be friends with that guy, or I'm not going to be friends with this girl, or I'm not going to surround myself with those people. But are you really checking to see what kind of media you're taking in? You know, me and my wife, we just moved, and we moved into a little house, and the house was my sister's house. My grandma actually owned it. My sister saved some money. And they bought a house out in Morgan Hill. Now they commute forever, but that's their choice. And when we moved in, there was this ugly tree in the front yard. I mean, the thing was just hideous. It was all, you guys ever seen those trees? They, like, come up, and then they're, like, at an angle, and then they grow out this way. And then it was, like, all going into the neighbor's gutter, and it looked dead. And it was going into our gutter, and it was making a huge mess. And finally, my grandma, she owns the house. She's like, I'm just going to cut that thing down. That thing's nasty. And we're like, thanks, Grandma. It is pretty gross. And I remember before it was cut down, my brother-in-law came over, and I was like, Mike, his name's Mike. I was like, Mike, what's up with this tree, man? I mean, it's just gross. It's all bent. it's all nasty. And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, you know, when we planted it, because they had actually planted the tree. He says, when we planted it and it was little, you know, you buy them and they're little, you know, little saplings. You guys ever seen, like, when they put trees on the side of the road or on the freeway? What do they do when they first plant them? What do? Do you guys know? They do what? They put sticks in, right? So they'll put a stick next to it, and they tie it to the stick. You guys know why they do that? So it grows straight, right? Well, my brother was like, I forgot to put the stick in, right? And so when he had the tree, it was just all like, and then it just started, it started growing, and it didn't change. It just kept being all crooked, right? You guys catching what I'm saying? It's very important when you are young to make sure the influences you put in your life don't set you all crooked. I mean, these trees, when they're young, they're very easily to mold, right? You can take a little twig and you can move it around. But once that tree grows old, you can't be moving that tree around anymore, right? There's a proverb that says, as the twig bends, so the tree grows, right? And so you got to be careful in as you're young, right? And as you're moldable, you guys don't realize it, but in your age right now, you're very influential in what you listen to and what you do. And you want to be very careful that, you know, you don't allow this media to bend you all out of shape. Because it will. Right? Very moldable. Here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We got about 15 more minutes. So, you guys all got your questions in? You guys like, huh? Amominus? Here we go. Question number one we got. Is it a sin to listen to music that is not Christian? Good question. Who wants to try to field that one?
Is it a sin to listen to music that's not Christian? No. I don't think so. I do think, though, that we should be wise as Christians at what we're listening to, because like Daniel said, if you're young and you're listening to some stuff that's really got really bad content in it, well, guess what? Garbage in, garbage out, right? Just as the tree bends, so grows that tree, or as the, whatever, you know, he said. So as you grow and as the music goes into your ears, and if that music got really bad content, because there's music out there that's not Christian, but it's got really good content, right? Truth runs parallel. I remember Pastor Paul always saying that truth runs parallel, so it can, truth is truth no matter who it comes from. So my feel is that if you're listening to it, it's more of the content that you're listening to rather than whether it's a Christian artist or not. Because you got some, you know, you got some non-Christians who really have something good to say, right?
You know, I grew up in a very conservative denomination. When I was growing up, we couldn't go to movies. We couldn't, it was just real, real conservative. But, and one of the rules that we had is we couldn't go dancing, couldn't dance. And it was a struggle for me to then enter into my young college years and really fight with some of those rules that I grew up, because I couldn't understand them and what they were all about. But the older I get, I think what they would intended, they didn't do a good job of communicating, but what they intended was that some of these things that we let influence our lives can lead us into a life of sin. So instead of teaching me that when I was young, all they said is don't dance. And to me, that's the same thing as don't listen to non-Christian music, because they're afraid it's going to lead you into sin. It's going to fill your mind with lyrics or words or dance or whatever that's going to make you trip up. And when you think about what sin is something that goes against God's will and God's love for us, right? So anything in our lives that's going to chip away at that, anything that's going to chip away with it, whether it be music, something on the internet, dancing, if you're going to the club, if it's something that's going to just make it easier for you to trip up, we avoid that. We avoid it like the plague as believers, so that we can stay pure and holy before God.
I just want to repeat what Pastor Dan said. That was a really good answer, by the way.
How about my answer?
That was great. I just want to repeat and just kind of highlight, you know, just the thing that you said is sometimes these things can trip us up. How many of you guys know who Kurt Cobain is? some of you guys old enough to know. He was this rocker dude, and he committed suicide, I believe. Well, I didn't listen to him back as a kid because, you know, I was listening to, like, Beethoven and Mozart. But my mom wanted to make me really smart, right? So that's what she made me listen to. And I grew with a disdain of that. But, you know, I knew about this guy because he was this popular guy back in, what, 1994 or something. He was this big dude, and then it made the news along with, like, I don't know, Princess Diana dying or something. But the way that he died was very interesting. I don't think he blew his head off. He took drugs, right? He overdosed on drugs.
I think it was both.
Well, anyway, he
there was a shotgun to the head after he overdosed on blood on
that. There was something that he was listening to, though, that really got him into the mood of taking his life. I don't know if it was his own music. I don't think it was. But that same music, there was a mass shooting that happened kind of recently. I don't know if it was Columbine, but the killers started listening to this violent music, and yeah, I'm going to shoot these people up. And it was like this really, and they hyped themselves up, and then they got their flak jackets on and their guns, and they just went shooting. Well, is it a sin to listen to this music? Well, it's kind of like, well, no, I guess not. But then is it helpful? No, it's not. So this is one of those things where it takes wisdom. And if you don't have the wisdom to know what's helpful for you and what's not, then I would recommend that you avoid it, right? But to say that all music that's not Christian is sinful is not correct. You know, some music is sinful. Some music tells you the wrong things, but not all music is sinful. And believe me, all Christian music is not that great either, you know. So I just want to put that out there.
All right, we got like, you guys did great. We got like 10 questions, so we're going to try to go a little faster. So, Charles, next question we got. Should there be a balance in Christian and non-Christian music we listen to? It's similar, but who wants to try to address that one? Yeah, right here.
I wanted to highlight a couple verses, actually. Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I think that was also the verse to a song. But listen, I mean, just meditate on these words. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. So it's kind of like, well, do these words, does this music help me meditate on the goodness of God? Does it help? Does it remind me of the goodness of God? That's all.
Yeah, I think you really have to look at what you're listening to. I mean, you really have to listen to the lyrics that you're listening to, right? I mean, do you want to take advice? Because music is about a songwriter who takes music and writes lyrics, whether it's rap or whatever style you like, and they're sharing their view with you. So do you want, and it's kind of what Daniel shared earlier, do you want to take advice from some of these people that their lives are messed up on drugs and living in anger and all kinds of messes, or do you want to pour into your mind and your soul stuff that is pure and right and noble, things that the scripture tells us to focus on? So it's really up to you. I mean, if you want to pour junk into your heart, junk's going to come out, like Junior said earlier. But if you want to continue to fill yourself, so is there a balance? Well, I don't know if you can have too much good influence into your heart and soul. Anybody think you can have too much good influence? I know you can have too much bad influence, but yeah.
Yeah, let me just talk real quick. I think that's kind of a question you think about, you know, is there a balance between how much I should abuse my kids and love my kids, right? Well, no, you should never abuse your kids, right? You should always love your kids. So that's kind of the thing. Like, it's not a matter of how much is too much. It's should you ever really take in, and we're not talking about non-Christian music. Should we ever... Let's rephrase that. Is there a balance between music that's positive for me versus music that's negative for me, right? Because just because music is non-Christian doesn't necessarily mean it's horrible. It just means it's talking about something other than God, right? Yeah.
And just as an example, like I had this buddy of mine who's a good guy, but the guy was really sort of toxic. A guy from work. He's actually a Samoan brother, older gentleman. But he was just really always cussed and whatnot. And so hanging with them wasn't a sin because Jesus hung with sinners, right? That's what the word says. But the problem is I started feeling, you know, the effects of hanging around him. I'm like, man, I don't like that. So the wisdom kicks in and says, maybe I should, you know, and that's actually the Holy Spirit who kicked in and my own thinking, like, it might not be wise to continue hanging out so much with this guy. So it's kind of like the same balance with music as well. You know, it really boils down to your maturity and the wisdom that God gives you along with your thinking, you know, just thinking clearly about how to live.
All right, next question. Charles, put the next one up there. What do we got? Is it a sin to watch R-rated movies? Very good question. All right, let's. Who wants to go first? Let's just do. We only got 10 more minutes. Let's do one person because I think we got a bunch. You want to go?
Okay. Is it a sin to watch R-rated movies? Well, let me ask you a question. If you got a problem with crack, is it a? If you got a problem with crack, right, and you go hang out with your buddies who always do crack. You know, so, I mean, it boils down again to wisdom. Is it, if you're a guy who's recovering from alcohol, it's not a sin to go hang out at the bar, but is it wise? If you're recovering from alcohol and you go hang out at the bar, chances are you're going to end up falling right back into drinking alcohol, right? If you have a problem with, you know, it's garbage in, garbage out. A lot of times rated R flicks, they cuss a lot. There's a lot of, you know, soft porn is what they call it. There's halfway nudity, and then sometimes it's just full-blown. And only thing that aren't showing are those things, you know, those things. So the question is, check this out. It ain't a sin to watch it, but is it wise? Is it wise? What kind of drama is it going to stir up in your life, right? It's going to stir up some things, and next thing you know, you're actually living out that thing that was just on the movie. That's just real, all right? Because we don't, you know how it is. We don't live G-rated lives. Some of us just straight up triple X. Y'all know what time it is.
Hey, let me comment. Sorry, but some of these questions are really repeating about, is it a sin? Is it a sin? It is a sin. And I just went blank. But I had such a good point, too.
Okay, I'm sure it'll come up. And you know what's funny is, that in my opinion, this is funny because in my opinion, the greatest Christian movie ever made is a rated R movie. So think about that for a minute, right? The Passion of the Christ, right? That's hardcore rated R, right? But it's a Christian movie, so, I mean, yeah.
Real quick, because what I was going to say, it's rules and regulations. Some of you may have been raised by parents, grandparents, or maybe even a church that was all about rules. Can do this, can't do this, can do this, can't do that. You know what? God is... Yes, he's a God of order, and he's a God of rules, but he's more a God of relationship. So it's not so much like, I can't do that because it's a sin. I can't do that because is this really pleasing to God? That's what you need to be asking yourself. Is this thing really pleasing to God? Is it going to edify me? Is it going to help me to stay pure and holy before God? So we got to get away from this. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it right? Is it wrong? We're free from that bondage. We've been set free. We've been covered by God's grace and mercy. So what we need to be asking is, what am I filling my mind with so that I am pleasing to God? Does that help? I hope. I don't know.
And just on what Pastor Dan said, that is the right question. I remember when I first came to this church, and I thought that just because I received Christ in my life, that I can now go sin because I received Jesus in my life, right? But actually, that's not how it works. That's how I thought. But the Pastor Paul, when he was, because I came in back in 2000 and where he was pastoring, and he said a very wise thing that just broke all of my theological, you know, explanation to myself about stuff. And he said, the question is, you may be saved, but the question is God smiling on you or is God frowning on you? Are you living that kind of life? So that's probably the best question, like what Pastor Dan said. Would God be happy with me by doing this or watching this or listening to this, or would God be smiling on me?
All right, next question. Next, would God mind if images from the Bible are used in fantasy in the media, example, Lord of the Green Chronicles, Narnia, etc.? Let me hold on, I got to read this again.
The way I look at this question, I see a lot of movies and stuff where there'll be scenes, and you kind of, well, that's kind of Christian, but then it's deceiving because they use just a little portion, but then it turns and it goes against Scripture. So you have to be really careful when you're out of the secular movie where you're seeing some of these images or the devil knows the Scripture, and he'll take it to confuse us and to cause us to get us off track. So just be careful that if it does not line up with the Scripture, then you just need to be real careful and mindful that anything. I wish you guys could all go meet some of the people that are producing these movies and just look at their lives and look at the way they live, and you'd be saying, "Why am I buying? Why am I soaking all this in? Why am I letting them get into my heart and mind?" It's kind of crazy. I know it's entertaining. I go to the movies. You just got to be alert because some of those things chip away, and then before you know it, they've got you. They've got you totally convinced. Like, well, what's real? What's scriptural? I wonder how many of you are really in the Word every day in the Bible. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you are in the media and in that kind of stuff? So if you're leaning more towards you're into the media, movies, music, and not into the Word, you're way off balance, way, way, way off balance.
I hope we answered that. The way I read it is, does God mind if, like, the movie Chronicles of Narnia is how they oftentimes there's Mufasa, not Mufasa, was it Mufasa? Aslan, whatever, it's all the same. Mufasa, Aslan. whatever, next question. Charles, run it up there. Is it okay to listen or watch worldly media but still be careful? Absolutely. I think we've answered that. Absolutely, it's okay. The idea isn't whether it's Christian or non-Christian. The idea is, what is the message it's trying to communicate, right? So that's really the question you want to talk. Like, one of the songs I really like is Lupe Fiasco, and he's talking about skateboarding. His whole rap song is about skateboarding, right? Kick, kick, push. You guys know that song? I like that song. He's talking about skateboarding. There's nothing bad about that song, but it's not a Christian song, right? So it's not, you know, he's talking about skating and whatever, you know, whatever. Who cares, you know? So there's things that you just got to listen. One of my other favorite songs by Jack Johnson is called Bubbly Toes, and he was talking about his wife's toes. So the whole song is about his wife, and she has bubbly toes. And so he's singing about a song, you know. He's singing about her toes. He's just a guy singing about his wife. So I know that it's not, that's what he's singing about. It's not a big deal. I don't necessarily like his wife's toes, but. So next question. Charles, we got another one? That's it? All right, good job, you guys. So we're just out of time. Let's give it a hand for our panel. Woo! Thank you. I appreciate you guys making time to come up here. Hey, thank you guys for asking questions. We are going to continue with this series for the next 10 weeks, and I got a new topic every week that you guys chose, and so come on back next week, and we're going to have a new panel. Next week's topic will be a little bit more serious, so come on back, and we'll get to that. If you guys have any other questions you want to talk to me or any of the other leaders after service, come on up. But we're out of town, so I'm going to close in prayer, and I'm stoked that you guys all made it out this Sunday. So let's close. Lord, we just thank you for the gift of music, Lord, and what it is, Lord, and how it can move people, and how you can use it, Lord, to inspire people, to move us into worship, Lord, and to do all sorts of stuff, Lord. And so we just pray, Lord, that as we choose, Lord, the music and the media that we allow into our life, Lord, that we would do so, Lord, with wisdom and with caution, Lord, and we'd allow you to speak to us, Lord, about what is okay to listen to, Lord. Not just leaning on, you know, whether they're Christian or not, Lord, but really leaning on having a relationship with you, Lord, and allowing you to speak that to us, Lord. I just pray for each student in here, Lord. I pray as we continue to go for summer, Lord. I know football starting. I know cheerleading starting. I know volleyball starting. All the other sports are starting, Lord. Continue to be with us, Lord. Keep us safe as we engage these sports, Lord. Use us to be lights in the world, Lord, in our sports, with our fellow peers, Lord. I pray, Lord, that everybody in here would surround themselves, Lord, with positive role models, Lord, wise people, older people, Lord, that could speak into their life, Lord. And we thank you for all that you are doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll see you.
This was another Generation Example podcast. For additional podcasts, community, and resources to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ, visit generationexample.org.